Okay. Ready? Okay. Today's Daf Mem Zayin, brand new parak, fifth parak of Masechta Yuma. Great parak. A lot of things relevant, a lot of agadas are relevant for the 9 days, and for the Beis HaMikdash, and for the Kehillah of the Beis HaMikdash. But before we get to that, we have a few blots still of Torah, and we'll get started. Today's shiur is sponsored by Avrumi and Chavi Khan, Le'il Nishmas, Avrumi's father, Moshe Eliezer ben Miriam ben HaKohen. So the Mishnah starts off, Hitziulo es hakaf v'es hamachta. They would bring the Kohen Gadol a bowl and a ladle. Why are they bringing him a shovel and a ladle? This is different than the shovel and the lad used to take the coals. This is now going to be a shovel, as the Gemara will say. It's a shovel full of ketores. This is the actual... And a ladle, well, he will take the ketores and put them from the shovel into the ladle. He's going to walk across Kedashim holding that ladle of ketores. Okay, that's what's going on here. They bring him an empty ladle and a shovel... They bring him an empty ladle and a shovel full of ketores, and he's going to transfer the ketores from the shovel to the ladle using his hands, using a malo chafnav, handfuls of this ketores. So he tzilo is a kap yes hamachta chafan malo chafnav. He grabs with his two hands ketores v'nasan l'torach hakaf, and he puts it into the ladle. So he transfers it from the big shovel into a ladle. How much is a chmalo chafnav? How much is that? So it depends. Hagodel lefi gadlo, a big kohen is going to have bigger. Hakatan lefi katno, and a smaller kohen gadlo is going to have a smaller size. It varies with each person. It depends on the size of the person. And then the Mishnah adds again, v'kach hayimidas. That is its measure. That is its measure. And then we're going to discuss why this is meant, why this repeats itself. That was its measure. And the Gemara is going to mention this, very similar to Kemitza. Kemitza is where Kohen sticks his hand into a mincha, and it's three fingers. And the thumb and the pinky, he wipes off the extras, and whatever's in there, that's the Kemitza. That gets burnt on the Mizbeah. How much is a Kemitza? It depends on how big you are. The bigger the hand, the bigger the kemitza. Each person's, same thing over here. How much is a malo chafnav? Both hands? Depends how big your hands are. Notalas hamachta biyamino. He's going to enter into the Kodesh Kedashim. He has the machta, the shovel of coals in his right hand. V'yesh hakaf bismolo. And the kaf, the ladle of ketores, in his left hand. And he's going to walk into the Beis HaMikdash with holding the things one in each hand. So the Gemara is going to ask, it's a little backwards, no? Shouldn't the ketores be in the right hand? The Gemara is going to ask that question. But before we get to that question, the Radvaz asks, isn't using your left hand a psul in the Avoda? You can't use your left hand. You're not allowed to do anything with your left hand. That could he carry in with his left hand? Even if you're a lefty, that's right. Even if you're a lefty, you can't use your left hand in the avoda. So some say it's not really avoda. This it's just a hechsher for the avoda. Some say that the fact that you can't use your left hand by ketores, since ketores is not really a full fledged avoda, that's only derabbanan. So Yom Kippur, the derabbanan never made the gzeira. That's what some say. Anyway, that's okay. So let's start. So the Gemara says, "Mach the tonila. We already had a shovel." Right? Didn't we say last parak that the Kohen Gadol put the shovel on the fourth step? We already had a shovel. What are they bringing him another shovel for? So the notel is hamachta. Right here, he took a shovel. The olal rosh hamizbeach. He went to the top of the mizbeach. The chote. He moved around the coals over there. He took him down. So he already had a shovel. So the Gemara says, no. Hasam machta de gechalim. Yeah, that's the shovel for the coals. That's the shovel for the coals which they would take from the mizbeach. And they were waiting. These coals were waiting on the fourth step. Hacha, but over here, machta de ketores. It was a shovel of ketores. Ditanya, like we learned, hotziulo kaf rekon. They brought him an empty ladle, milishkas hakelim, from the lishkas of kelim. Right, there's a room where they kept utensils. They took out an empty ladle. Votziul umachta gedusha shel ketores, and a shovel heaping with ketores. Milishka's base of Tinas, from the Aftinas chamber, which is where the Ketores was made. So they brought him now a shovel full of Ketores and an empty ladle. And what's he going to do? He's going to transfer a Moloch Hafnav from the shovel to the ladle. That's what he's going to do right now. Then he's going to go pick up the shovel of coals and walk into the Kodesh Kedoshim with both of them. So now the Gemara says, Chafen Moloch Hafnav v'notz l'toch ha-kaf ha-gadol l'fi-gadol v'kach l'fi-katon v'kach l'imidasa. So Kaf, the Yom HaKippurim Lomeli. Why do you need a ladle to carry in the Ketores into the Kodesh Kedoshim? What do you need a ladle for? Why don't you just use your hands? Why do you have to have a ladle? Meloch Chafna Vehevia Merachmana. The Torah says, a handful of Ketores, bring it in. Why bring it in a ladle? So the Gemara answers, Mishum Delo Efsha. There's no other way to do it. It's impossible. Echi Nevad. What should he do? Nail Vahadar Nail. Go in. How are you getting the coals and the Ketores into the Kodesh Kedoshim if your hands are full of Ketores? So it's, what's the answer? Go in, put the pile of Ketores down, then go back out and bring the coals in. Right? That's the option. Go in twice. Because you can't do that. Haba'achas Amrachmana. The Torah says you're only supposed to go in one time. V'lo shtei havos, not twice. What's an alternative? Nashkale l'ketores b'chafnav. Fine. So you have the ketores in your hands. V'nachde l'machta Allah, and then have somehow the shovel of ketores on top of your hands. Right? So one of the mafreshim says, you have another kohen. I thought to him, how could this work? You're going to burn your hands. If you hold the Ketores and you have a shovel of coal on top of your hands, you're going to burn them. So one mandama says, I forgot who it was. He says, no, there's another Kohen walking along with you. So he goes into the Kodesh Kedoshim also? Is that what the Gemara is suggesting? Can't be. So what, at the last minute you got to do it yourself? Somehow you're not going to burn your hands? I don't know. That's the Gemara suggestion. So then fine, even if that's a good suggestion, so v'na v'leil, and you're going to walk in like that, so kimati hasam, when you get there, heichi elavin, what are you going to do? How are you going to get them down? You have two hands of chafnav, and on top of that is a shovel of coals. How are you going to get this down? Nashkele b'shine, you're going to put the shovel of coals in your mouth, then put the ketores down, then take the shovel, v'nachde l'machta, and then you're going to put everything down. Hashta, l'fnei melech pasu v'dam, ein osin kain. You wouldn't do that for a regular king. It's crazy way to get, right? Crazy way of service. L'fnei melech machim l'macham ha-kadosh baruch ha-lachatz kam v'kama. Not going to do that for Hashem. It's such a silly thing to do. Hildach, therefore, lo efshar. It's not possible. Right? There's no other way to do it. Therefore, it must be you're using a ladle. Therefore, the kivadol efshar, since there's no other way to do it. How are you getting both things in there at one shot? Can't. You must have a way to help you out. You must be putting the ketores into a ladle. The kivadol efshar avdinan kidashkachan binasiyim. Since it's not possible, there's no other way. So we follow the model of the nasiyim, right? Kach achat asav malei ketores. The nasiyim did that. Therefore, we do it too. So the mafreshim ask, if there's no other way, what do you need the nasiyim for? There's no other way to do it. What do I need to see it to tell me what to do? You have no other way to do it. Okay. Next. So now we said, Natal es ha-machta b'yamin. You take the machta in your right hand. V'es ha-kaf b'smol. So what's in your right hand? In your right hand is a shovel full of coal. In your left hand is a smaller shovel full of ketores. You're going to go to the Kodesh Kedoshim now. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Yatziva ba'ara, the regular people, the citizens, right, the people that live in the city, the citizens, there on the earth, the giyur b'shmei shmaya, and the visitors, the gerim, the visitors, the people that don't belong in the city, right? The immigrants, they're in the heavens. Meaning, why is the coals in your right hand? The ketores should be in your right hand. The ketores is the ikur. Burning the coals is just a means to that end. So why are the coals in your right hand? It doesn't make any sense. Like you're giving chashivas to the immigrant. You're giving chashivas to the coals. It's to that's the Gemara's an answer. That's the Gemara's an answer. So the Gemara says, that's the kasha. The kasha is, why are you giving chashivas to the lesser of the two things? So the Gemara answers, Zumuetes. No, the coal is much heavier. Coal is much heavier. You have three kabin of coals, and you have two handfuls of ketores. It's much heavier. Vafilu bizman sheshneihem shavin. Even at a time when they're both the same, how could that be? For example, like Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. Kimchis, by the way, is his mother's name. We're going to see in a minute. But like him, well, who is he? He was a Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara is going to say his hands were gigantic, and he was able to pick up four kabin of ketores with his two hands. Gigantic. Even such a Kohen Gadol, nevertheless, he's still going to have the coals in your right hand. You know why? Because zechamu v'zetzonenes. Because the coals are burning hot. And the ketores is not hot at all. It's cold. So even if it's much harder to carry something that's hot. It's much harder. So mistama, everyone's a righty. So mistama, let your right hand, let your more powerful hand carry the harder thing to carry.
Could a left-handed
coin do that? No, so you're not allowed to do. I don't know if you can't do the avodah with your left hand. Let's put it that way. That you can't. We said it already. How can it even be in your left hand? There are bad deaths. We said that. So I said, this is the only, by Qataris, the only avodah is Durabanan, so they let it by Durabanan, Yom Kippur. So I don't know if I'll send somebody to the lefty, but he forces himself to use his right hand, so that's probably okay. So now you can't use your left hand. So, what? So you can't take everything in, how else? Right. That's the ancestor advisor's answer. You have no choice. So what? So I don't know, right. So, I mean, it must have been built in that you could use your left hand here. Right, that could be. Now, who is this Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis? Amru Olav al Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. They said a story about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. Shehaya chofen arba'as kabin. He was able to pick up four kabin, b'molei chofnav, with his hands. It's a massive amount. He's got very large hands. V'omer, and he said, kol hanashim zardu, all the women eat, zardu is, Rashi said, a certain kind of kemach, a certain kind of cereal. All the women eat this cereal when they're pregnant. Vazered ime olagad. But my mother, hers went to the roof, meaning she ate the best, which is why I'm so big. Ikadi Amri, others say ba'arsin, that he was referring to arsin, another kind of vegetable, another kind of flour, another kind of kemach. Who could Rabbi Bar Yonasan? To Amar Rabbi Bar Yonasan, Amar Bichil, arsin yafal lechola. Arsin, whatever this kind of brand, is very good for a chola. And we know that a pregnant woman is considered a chola. So all the pregnant women used to eat this stuff to stay healthy, to remain healthy. She had some better, or she was ate a lot of it, and therefore I became so big. The army, others say, no, what he was referring to was b'shech v'zera. He was referring to shech v'zera, who could Rabbi Avo. The Rabbi Avo, Rami, Rabbi Avo brought a stira. The Ksiv, it says, in one place in Shmuel, David Melech says, v'tazreini chel l'molchama. And Hashem, you clothed me, you girded me, you got me ready for Mulchama. And it says, Vatizraini. Uksiv, and it says in Tehillim, Vata'azraini Chela Mulchama. And you got me ready, you girded me for war. But over there, it has an aleph in the word. Of course, the extra aleph. Why does one have an aleph, one doesn't have an aleph? So the Gemara says, we're talking about two different things. Amar David, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shalom, Zarisni, winnow me, you winnowed me. Vizar Zartani, and you girded me. Meaning, you when you winnow, you remove the psoleth, you remove the waste, and you only left with fine stuff. So too Rashi explains, what David Melech was saying was, when I was born, you winnowed the zera. You made it the best possible part of the zera, and that's how I became, you know, and you did that, and now gird me here again to go fight in the Melchama. That's what Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis was alluding to when he said that that when he was talking about this cereal, he really meant that Hashem somehow helped over here, that he had the best part of the zera, and that made him very, very big, and he had very large hands, and he was able to do the avodah in a very large way. The Amrul of Al Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, to tell a story about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, Pamachas, one time, Siper Dvar im Aravi, he was talking with an Arab. He was talking with an Arab, Aravi Echad, an Arab guy, Bashuk, in the Shuk. Rashi says, when did this happen? Rashi says, Yom Kippur, it was Yom Kippur. All the Mepharshim asked, what was he doing on Yom Kippur in the market talking to an Arab? What was he doing there? We'll answer that in a second. V'nisza tinura mipiv al begadav. And while the Arab was talking, the Arab spit. He was talking, so his saliva and his spit fell on the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, of this Rabbi Shaul ben Kimchis. And what happened? He became Tameh. Because the rogue of a Goy is Tameh. Bidrabanan has Tumah Zav. Bidrabanan it's not Tameh. Bidrabanan has Tumah. Therefore he became Tameh. On Yom Kippur, he couldn't finish the Avodah. The Nitnas Yeshivav Echav Veshimesh Tachtav. So Yeshivav, his brother, finished up. Virasa Iman Shnei Kahanim Gedolim B'Yom Echad. And look at this. The mother was able to have two Kahanim Gedolim in one day. It's amazing. Right? Why? Because he became Tameh. Well, so some of the Mepharshim asked, how come there was no Nase? There's no Nase, that, right? A Kohen Gadol never became a Kerry. Sometimes we say there was no Nase. A Kohen Gadol never got Tameh. Why don't we say that? So, anyway, what was he doing?
What?
We're going to get to that in a minute, because the story is going to happen the following year. We're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to get to that in a minute. So, what was he doing there? What was he doing there? So, there's another, the Marsha has another girsa from Yerushalmi that says that it was Erev Yom Kippur. It was Erev Yom Kippur. Still a kasha, because they locked him up for 7 days. What was he doing there? Right? Locked him up for 7 days. So, it's still a kasha. It's not as strong of a kasha, but it's still a kasha. The Maritz Chayit says, so first of all, if it's Erev Yom Kippur, so just go to the mikvah. Just go to the mikvah. Then you're fine. So you're talking to Rabbanan anyway. So the Maritz Chayit gives two answers. He says, first of all, it could have been too late in the day. It's like a minute, 5 minutes before Shkia. I didn't have a chance. That's first of all. Second of all, it could be, so the Maritz Chayit says, only he could say this, he said that it wasn't Erev Yom Kippur. It was really Yom Kippur. And when it says Erev, it doesn't mean Erev. It means Arev, an Arab. Not Erev Yom Kippur. Arev Yom Kippur. It was an Arab person, and it was Yom Kippur. So Meiri says, many Mepharshim say that it was a king, and he had no choice. It was Pekuach Nefesh. He had to go beat the king. So what are you going to do? You're going to say, it's not Hargal Yavar, to leave on Yom Kippur to go beat the king. He had no choice. He had to go. The Shemi Shmuel says, Kedarko, he says as follows. He says, whenever Aaron HaKohen used to go and find out, he used to hear that somebody did an Avera, he used to go over to the guy and start talking to him and befriending him and trying to, you know, talk to him. And the guy would feel so bad. Aaron HaKohen is talking to me. If he only knew what I did, if he only knew how low I am, and it would give the person an unbelievable chizuk, someone so great is acknowledging him and befriending him. And that would be the greatest tshuva, the greatest chizuk this person could do. So what this Yeshua ben Kimchis did was, he saw that there was a situation where the goyim where the Jewish people were needed Hashem to take another look at them. So what he did was, he purposely went out into the street, met this Arab guy, Arab lord, Arab king, and he knew that the Arab king's going to have the opposite approach. Look at this, the king's the Kohen Gadol is coming to see me, and it was only going to make him haughtier. So much so, the B'Shem Yishmol says, what, we spit on him? Because he was so excited, he was so haughty, that he was just very, very loose, and some spit fell on him. And Rishon Ben Kimchis said, look at this, Hashem. When we go to each other, when the great people go to the regular people, by us, it causes tshuva. When you come to a guy, it just causes gaiva. And therefore, it was a way to have rachamim from Hashem. Hashem should be aroused, that when the Jewish people are not like the goyim. So Shemi Shmuel says. V'shuv amru alav al Yishua ben Kimchis. Another story about Yishua ben Kimchis. Pamachas, one time, Yotza, he went out, v'siper im adon echad bashuk. Again, either it's Yom Kippur, it's Erev Yom Kippur, he had no choice, it was Pekuach Nefesh, he had to go. So he met this lord of the shuk. Again, v'nitzazot tinura mipiv al begadav. And a piece and some spit fell on his begadim, and it became Tameh. V'nichnas Yosef achav v'shimesh tachtav. The Yosef, a different brother. Yosef, his brother, served in his instead. V'rasa even shakahan gilam yom echad. Again, and he had his mother saw two of her sons were kahanim gadol on one day. So the Mashal says, we had a time that we had. So that, what happened? What do you see from here? That this person, whoever he was, he served on two Yom Kippurs. Because the story happened twice. One second. Different brothers, different Yom Kippurs. Different Yom Kippurs. We had at the beginning of the Masechta, that the Gemara listed a bunch of people, a bunch of Kahara Gedolim, who served more than 1 year. In the second Beis HaMikdash, we said Rov never served. Here are the following people who did. Yeshua Ben Kimbach is not on the list. So the Marsha says that somebody who was on the list named Yishmael, or Yeshua Ben Papi. It must be, and we're going to say in a second, that Kimbach was his mother. So Yeshua Ben Papi must be his father. It must be, this is who he was. There's no other Yishmael, no other person who makes it fit. So it must be Yishmael and Pabi. So Pabi was the father, Kimkis was the mother, and they had a son, Yishmael, he was the Kohen Gadol. And he's the one that in the beginning of the Masech that said that there was a Yishmael and Pabi who served who served for more than 1 Yom Kippur. He served at least two. So I have a sefer at home by Rav Reuven Margolis, a very thin sefer about names in the Gemara. And he asks the question, so why couldn't Yeshevav serve again? Why another brother? Why another brother? So who asked that question? Tosos Arid says because he died. He died. That's what Tosos Arid says. But Ravur Magalia suggests that it's because, exactly what you said, Seth, because once you serve as a Kohen Gadol, what do? You serve once as a Kohen Gadol, what happens to you? Now, so presumably the day after Yom Kippur, or the day after that, whatever, however many days, then Rabbi Shmuel was back. So what happened to Rabbi Shevav? So he said he can't become a Kohen Hadyot, and he can't serve Kohen Gadol again. Nothing for him to do. So when it happened next year, it couldn't be him. It had to be somebody else. We had that. It had to be someone else. It couldn't be back. So let's assume the brother didn't die. It can't be. Right? It has to be another person. Presumably they were the Sagan. This is who becomes the next Kohen Gadol, the Sagan. Right, that's what he said.
After he serves, he becomes the Sagan
for
next year.
No, because it's a demotion. You were the Kohen Gadol for a day. Now you're demoted? It can't happen. So you're nothing. You're in limbo. There's nothing for you to do. The Sagan is just a made up thing to facilitate. So nothing for him to do. He can't be Kohen Gadol, nothing for him to do. So therefore, when it happened again, it had to be a different brother. That's what Rav Reuven Margolis suggests. Because once somebody else serves as a Kohen Gadol, it's improper for him to come back. So he couldn't go back. So what do these people do? They don't do anything. Now listen to this famous Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Shiva Banim Hayulah LeKimchis. Kimchis had 7 sons. So Reuven Margolis says her name wasn't Kimchis. It's not a real name. It's not a name. It's a nickname. We don't know what her real name was, but he says it's related back to the Kemach that she ate, and that's why the Gemara refers to her by that name. Anyway, she had 7 sons. The Kulam Shemeshah Bekula Gedola. All of them once were a Kohen Gadol. Tosfos Yeshanim points out it's obvious it was during her lifetime, because we're going to say it's a tremendous Shevach, and if it's because they all died, then what kind of Shevach is that? It's not a Shevach to lose 6 children. So it must be these kinds of things. He became Tamei for a day, he was Tamei for a week, and all the brothers all ended up filling in as Kohanim Gedolim over the course of her life. She had 7 sons that were Kohanim Gedolim. Amru lo chachamim, ma sisa shetzachis lekach, what did you do to merit this? Amru lo ahem, so she told them, miyamai, all my days, lo ro'u koros besi kale sari. The beams of my house never saw my hair. I was such a tsunua that if my hair was covered, even in my house, the husband never saw it. Well, would we have this?
We had this line.
What?
We had this line before.
As far as I know, we never had this line. So first of all, the Rav Chaim Shulevitz has an unbelievable word over here. So he says as follows. First of all, he says the Bir Halacha Paskins. This is not halacha. It's a very nice thing, but make it's not halacha. It's only a chumrah. Rav Moshe says not only is it only a chumrah, but it's obvious that it wasn't even practiced. Because only she did it, so it wasn't a common occurrence. The special woman was acting that way. It wasn't a common thing. So Chaim Shalevitz says, "Wait a minute. So for a chumra like this, and she gets such a reward." One more line. Amrullah, Harbi Asu came v'lohu ilu. A lot of women tried that. It didn't work. A lot of women did that. It didn't help. They didn't have sons who were kind of. They also covered their hair in the house. So Chaim Shalevitz says, so for such a chumra like that, you get such a reward. After all, it's a chumra. That's a nice chumrah, fine, but call a chumrah. So what's pshat? So Chaim Shalev says an unbelievable thing. He says it wasn't because she was machmer. It was why she was machmer. She was machmir because she was genuine. She Rashi says over here, like kol kvuda bas melech pinima, the kavod of a bas melech is to stay inside, to be a tsunua, and then the pasuk continues mishpasot zahav halovish mishpasot zahav. Right, you do that, you wear the zav, you wear the big day zav, you become a kohen gadol. So he says the attitude was, this is my definition of kavod. I'm doing this because I believe it's right. I'm not doing it because I want a segula, I want 7 sons, and the other guy's doing it. I'm not doing chumash because it's in vogue. I'm doing it because I believe in it. So a lot of women tried, it didn't make a difference. Oh, you hear? You want to have your son to be a kohen gadol? This is what you should do, it's going to work. That doesn't work. But for Kimchis, it was her whole attitude. It's all attitude. That was an amazing vart. The whole thing was her attitude. So for her attitude, she got rewarded. It's not the specific chumrah. It was her attitude about life. Right? To her, this was a way of to be mechaber Hashem, to be mechaber herself or her family. So it's worthy of reward. You want to just run and chop every chumrah you heard of, but that's not necessarily the proper attitude. It's not going to help. A lot of women tried. It didn't make a difference. Okay. Rabbi Yochim says that her answer, I don't understand this, he says her answer back is not even true, it was mazel. He says her mazel caused that she should have such luck, whatever that means. But I think Rechaim Shalav is something we could all take home in when it comes to these types of things. Anyway, next Tanur Rabbanan. It says in the Torah the kumtso, that when a regular Kohen does a kemitza, which is a handful of flour, he has to have a komet. What's a komet? The amount of flour that can fit at the 3 fingers. Now, so the Gemara says, "Bekum to shelo yasem midel komet." Don't make a kli. You know, I'll do kemitza. I'll put that amount of flour into a kli. I'll mark it off, and now I'll know. I don't have to do kemitza anymore. I'll just fill it up with a kli. And at that marker, at that red line, I'll know that's my kemitza. That's me. Every kohen has their own little jug with a kemitza amount. Don't do that. Don't do that. It says, "Bekum to." Do it with your hand every single time. Don't make a kli. So Yibayelahu, Baoshiyatza Mido Lechanifa, Lechafina, can you make a kli for the Chafina? Can you make a kli for the Melech Chafna, for the Kohen Gadol? Can you make a kli? Or no, he's got to do it mamish with his hands. So the Gemara says, Hasam hu diksev bekonso. You know why a regular coin can't make a kli for a kemitza? Because it says bekonso. Abel Hakam, but I'm here to look, see if it doesn't say bechafna, Ella, Melech Chafna Ketorah Sarim Daka. No. So it wouldn't be a problem. I can do it. It wouldn't be a problem. By kemitza, you can't. But here I could. Oh, Dilmore, maybe. Yalef malay malay bimikumso. No, you can make a gzereshava, a comparison. It says malay here, malay by kemitza. Just by kemitza, it has to be with your hand. So too here, it has to be with your hand. And you cannot use a kli. That's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara says, Tashma. Let's try to answer it. It says in our Mishnah, said you can't that a big kohen gadol is going to have big hands and a small kohen gadol is going to have a small size. And then the Mishnah said v'kachayim midasa, and that's its measure. My lav, doesn't that imply shemrata lasos mida acheres osa la osa? That if you want to make a kli, you can. Why did the Mishnah add that line v'kachayim midasa? We didn't have an answer. Why did the Mishnah add that line? Isn't it to tell me that you can make a kli? So the Gemara says, "Lo, that's not it. Halchikam, this is what it means. The kachaya chozer v'chofne lifnim. No, it's telling us what happened here. He did the chafina. He grabbed up the amounts. He put them in a ladle. He then went into the Kodesh Kedashim. Then what did he do? He again did the malach chafnav and put them on top of the coals. So the Gemara is telling us now that when it said v'kachaya midasa, to allude that when you go into the Kodesh Kedashim and you do this again, make sure you have every single speck. Same thing, same amount." So the Gemara says, Shmas mina, if that's true, Shmas mina, then we could be arrived from here that chofen v'chozer v'chofen. And you have to do it again. There's going to be a later machlokas in the perek. Is that true? Or could you just take the ladle and spill it over? But we don't say this mishnah's a raya to that you can't do that, you must do it again with your hand. We don't say that. So if what you're saying is true, that's a very good raya. You have to actually do it again when you get inside. You can't just turn the ladle over and have the katoras go on the coals. You have to actually go pick it up again with your hand and pour it yourself. We don't bring this as a raya. It can't be pshat. So the Gemara answers, Dilma, maybe. Imrata lasos mida osa. So maybe you're wrong. Maybe you can make a kli. We don't have an answer to this question. We don't know. The Gemara says inami, or no, maybe you know why he said that? Again, shol yachzer v'shol yosir. That whether or not using a kli, we don't have an answer to that question, but it just could be that every speck has to be taken. Even if you're going to pour it over with the ladle, make sure every scrape of that ketores is off. We don't have an answer. Right. Using what? So you see that smoke. Right, smoke is definitely vital. Right. That we're gonna, okay. Fine. Tana Rabbanan. Now another brisa. Malo kumtso. It says you have to make malo kumtso. A kovetz full. Yachal miboretz. I could think it could be heaping, meaning that the flour could stick out between your thumb and your pinky. Could stick out. Talmud lomar bekumtso. No, exactly a kovetz. Even kumtso yachal afil berosho etz baosav. So I could maybe you should do this, like use just the tips of your fingers. Don't have the fingers cover your palm like this. Do it like this, like a tiny amount with your fingertips. Maybe that's what you have to do. So the Gemara answer is no. Kid comes so inchy. No, a normal comet. A comet is an amount that does when you cup your hand, your fingers over your palm. A normal amount. Okay, so what do? Chofesh holshesh ba'otzav al pisas yado. You grab the amount that can cover three fingers, the comets, and you do the kamisa. Ubamacheshes. Let's say you have these deep pans where the flour was baked, and then it's not fine flour. It's actually like crumbly crackers. Then mochek begolbo milmaila ubeetzbo ketana milmata. What you have to do? You have to chip away. You grab an amount that it can't be stick. It can't stick out because it can't be heaping. So when it's fine flour, you can just wipe it off. But if it's very thick, it's like a cookie. You have to scrape it off with your thumb and your pinky. You have to scrape off the leftover comet. It's not flour anymore. It's actually like a cracker. And the Gemara says, "Vizuhi avoid the kashas of a mikdash." That's the hardest avoid in the base of mikdash. What's to do that? So the Gemara says, "Vizuhi v'sulo." That's the only hard one. What about malika, which is breaking off the neck of the bird? Apparently, that was very hard. Or the ikka chafina. What about the chafina, which we didn't say why that's hard yet? We're going to say in a few days. That's also very hard. So the Gemara answers, Ella zuhi me'avo diskosher shemikdash. One of the hard ones. One of the hard ones in the base of mikdash was this. One of the hard ones. The reason why chafina was hard was because you had to get the ketores into your hands while you're holding the ladle. How do you do that? It's very hard. That's why you have to hold the ladle and get the ketores into your hands. That's why it's hard. And malik is hard. It's a lot of pressure on your thumb to kill the bird. And this kamitz is hard because how are you going to chip away all that cracker? It's very hard. So those are the three hard ones. Fine. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, by Rabbi Yeshua ben Uziah, listen to this Gemara. Bein habeinim. Let's say you have flour in between your fingers, stuck in between your fingers. Now we said before that when you do the kobet, anything on top of your hand becomes shirayim. Anything below becomes shirayim. That is eaten generally, but not burnt on the mizbeach like the rest of the kamitza. So what about that? What about if it's stuck in between your fingers? Right? Is that considered part of the kamitza or not? Bein habeinim, in between your fingers. Shemalok kumtza. Maha, what's the halacha? So Amar of Papa, digavoy, if it's inside, Loti Barlach, Devadai Kometu. If it's facing toward your inner palm, that's certainly part of the Kemitza. It's inside. Dibaroi, if it's outside, Loti Barlach, Devadai Shraimu. It's certainly extra. Kiti Barlach, when's the Kasha? The Baini. Mam is stuck in the middle. Mai, what's the Halacha? What's the Halacha? It's Amar of Yochanan. Hadar Pashti Yeshua ben Uziah. Yeshua ben Uziah then answered it himself, and he said, "Bein habeinim suffik." It's a suffik. So what did he answer? Before he had a suffik, and now he has a suffik. So the answer is, before he thought, I don't know. Maybe somebody in yeshiva does know. I don't know. You can't have rules of suffik if somebody in the world knows. That's the Mefarshim explained. I don't know. Did the meat fall in? Is it meat? Is it kosher? If someone in the world knows, you can't have a suffik. So I don't know the halacha, but maybe somebody does. So he went, he asked everybody. Anybody know the halacha? Nobody knew. So he said, it must be, it's a suffix. Like all the before, like Be'ah Shmashos. Is it day or is it night? It's a suffix. Nobody knows. Nobody knows the answer to that question. It's a genuine suffix in halacha. So we have to treat a lechum. We have to treat it in a certain way. It's not that there's somebody who knew. I don't know. I didn't learn this halacha. I'll go with somebody. No, nobody knew. So the answer was the halacha was the psach. It's a suffix. Nobody knows. So therefore, heti never. What do you do? Listen to this. Amar b'chanina makdir kometz l'chudei. So first, be makdir the kometz. The vaday kometz be makdir. Then first. Then v'hadar beina beinim. Then be makdir the suffix part. Okay? First be makdir the vaday, then be makdir the suffix. Di amarta beina beinim beresha. Because if you're going to say you should be makdir the suffix first, that can't be. Because dilma shirayim ninu. Maybe it's shirayim. What's shirayim? Maybe it's not supposed to be burnt. It's shirayim. We have a halacha. If it's shirayim, shechasru, that got lost, or burnt, or destroyed, or it's missing, then kemitah la'haptara, between the kemitah and the haptara, between the real kemitah that's going to take place, then the amar mar, shirayim shechasru, kemitah la'haptara, ein maktir le'im et ha'komets. You don't bring such a mincha. So if you're going to burn the shirayim first, you're going to ruin the whole thing. Because maybe, I'm sorry, if you're going to burn the suffix first, maybe it's shirayim, and the halacha is if you lose shirayim before you bring the kemitzah, you don't bring the kemitzah. So you can't bring the shirayim first. Now the Gemara is going to add, you can't bring the shirayim second. Ihachi, if so, hashtanami. Ikrika, we have a rule. Kol shemimenu l'ishim, harehu b'bal taktiru. Once, we have a rule. Once you burn what you're supposed to burn, you can't burn anything else afterwards. So once you burn the kometz, the real genuine kometz, you can't burn anything afterwards. You're stuck. So you're not even allowed to burn that. How do you know? What? It is shirayim. No, but it's a suffix. It's a suffix. So if you burn the real kemitah, you can't burn more kemitah now. You're done. So it's a suffix. So what do? So I'm Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon Pazi. You know what? The makdil ali shum etim. You can still burn it, but make it tanai. If it's kometz, then fine. And if not, it's wood. You don't even have to make that tonight. No matter what, it's going to be wood. I'm burning wood up on the mizbeach. I'm calling this wood. It happens to be ketores. I'm just giving out. I'm giving for help for the fire. That's all. Firewood. You can do that. Kid Rabbi Eliezer, like Rabbi Eliezer, the Tanya. Rabbi Eliezer, or Rabbi Eliezer says, Lomech nichoach. Let's say Rabbi Eliezer's talking about a case. Let's say you have chatas meat that got mixed up with ola meat. So you don't know what to do. So Rabbi Eliezer says, throw everything up on the fire. And just say, if this meat's really supposed to be eaten, like the chatas, then I'm making firewood. Burn fire, why not? Rabbi Eliezer says you could do that. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, L'reach nichoach iatamala. You can't bring it up there as reach nichoach, as something that's supposed to be up there for a reach nichoach for Hashem. But avo atamala l'shum eitim, but for firewood it's no problem. Now the Rabbanim over there argue and say, no, you don't know what to do, don't put it up there. Well, you don't put extra things up there. So ha nicha Rabbi Eliezer. So I have an out now according to Rabbi Eliezer. I can take this kemitah in between the fingers and burn it l'shem eitzim. But according to the Rabbanan, I can't do that. Because you don't. If you have a suffix, you don't bring it up on the mizbeach. So, el Rabbanan ma'ik l'meimar. What are you going to say? What's the answer? What do you do with the kometz im beini beinim? Listen to this answer. Amar of Mari, dekamsi shmeini. Only use a fat kohen to do kemitzas. And apparently, if there's a fat guy with fat hands, he's not going to have anything stuck in between his fingers. That's the assumption. Now, hashta de asas lahachi, now we said that, the Rabbi Eliezer nami lechachila to come to shmeini. So the whole thing lechachila, always use somebody fat to do the kemitza. So the refreshing man, so now on Yom Kippur, you only have a kodal, right? So only fat Kohen Gadol were allowed? If the guy was in good shape, wouldn't let him be Kohen Gadol? That's probably not true. Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol had to be the best looking and the tallest and the best. So chances are that not. Right? So it's a real kasha here. What's going on? And what if, let's say you have a Beis Av and all of them are skinny. So you're going to call another Kohen from down the street to do the kemitzas because he's fat? Is that serious? So It could be. It's just an example of make sure you don't have anything stuck between your fingers because we don't know what to do with it. Like a fat person wouldn't have anything stuck between his fingers because just the way he's built. So too, just make sure that you have that case, because otherwise you're going
to
be stuck.
Or maybe the week before when he was secluded, he was going to try to fatten him up.
Yeah, but apparently we mean somebody who's really got some meat on him, that there isn't going to be anything stuck between his fingers. Yeah, that's it. So tomorrow we go on. We'll stop. Tomorrow's Amud Beis is very short, so we stop a little earlier. And what? Yeah, tomorrow's Amud Beis is very short. We stop a little earlier, and see everybody tomorrow.
Sorry.